Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's day is September 25th, 2014. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. It's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And if you don't get me in an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Feel free also to email me and put your phone number in it and say, hey, I need a prayer, and send it to me, and I'll get back with you as quick as I can. A lot of times I'm closer to my email than I even do turn on my telephone. But anyway, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our address at our blog, which is prophecyhour.com. And by the way, prophecyhour.com, you can see that really well on your smartphones, as it is smartphone compatible. And also, you can find our, you can listen to radio over there, as I hear 50% of the people out there that listen to radio nowadays do so on their smartphone. I even have people that do it on their dumb phone, so to speak. Anyway, you can also listen, of course, on satellite. But anyway, what I was saying, branch.podomatic.com. You can find us there. You can find us at iTunes. So, hey, share our programs with others and really, I challenge you, in fact, to share with two or three other people. Now, let's get a prayer and get on with tonight's program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father Yahweh, I just ask that tonight that you bless this program, especially on your feast day, Father. I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will nor our guest's will. And please give everybody out there ears and wish to hear the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight in your son's name, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen. Well, Richard Perry was on with us just a couple of weeks ago, and he's wrote a lot of books. And his last book that he wrote is called His Ways Are Eternal. I think he told us a little bit about it, but not much last week. But anyway, this week, tonight is the Feast of Trumpets. At least it is until it gets dark. And so Richard decided to come on and talk to us about it. So welcome, Richard. Are you there with me?
I am, Dan, and glad to be back.
Well, I'm glad to hear your voice. It's so familiar. We talked a lot over the years, and a couple of times on Feast Time, so you could do that. Just this. Explain to them, what am I talking about, the Feast of Trumpets? Does that mean I'm supposed to run around out here blowing a trumpet? What's this all about?
If you're a priest, yeah. Well,
I'm not wearing priestly garments today.
Yeah, neither am I. Well, the Feast of Trumpets is one of God's feast, one of Yahweh's feast days. But there's seven feasts of God, and they're part of three annual festivals of God. Now, one of the things about the Feast of God is Yahweh lays them out, starting in Exodus, is that they're reminders of what God has done for his people when he brought them out of bondage in Egypt. But what a lot of people don't recognize is that the feast days are also prophetic. In other words, they point to what Yahweh, and the Messiah, will do for his people. And probably we should be able to recognize the fact that these feast days and festivals are sign, prophetic signs to God's people, because the Yeshua, the Messiah, has come, and he's fulfilled the first four feasts of Yahweh. He fulfilled the summer, the spring festival, the summer festival, and the only one outstanding now is the fall harvest festival. Now, everybody is pretty familiar with the fact that, Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, is the Passover Lamb of Yahweh, and that he, sacrificed himself on the cross as a Passover sacrifice for his people. Just like the Passover Lamb was, the blood of the Lamb was the means of getting his people out of Egypt, Christ blood is what gets people out of bondage to sin.
Yeah, and let me say something. I want to butt in already. maybe you wouldn't, but it still amazes me as when, I'm talking to somebody that, is a Christian, and I start talking to them about, I always bring up Passover first, just like what you're doing right now. And you would be, I am amazed at how many of them really didn't even understand the concept of Passover lamb. And then I'd say, well, lamb of God. And, they just barely even get that. To me, that smells of a real big problem, especially when some of these people that I'm talking about are regular churchgoers.
Right. Yeah, it's really sad. I mean, one of the things about Christianity is that Christianity spends so much time in the New Testament focused on the Messiah that we call Jesus Christ, which is probably more accurately Yeshua the Messiah, about the things that he did in the Gospels and the things that were written about him and his ways in the epistles all the way through to Revelation. But Christianity seems to fail to recognize that all God's word is true. That, from Genesis to Revelation is the Word of God, and to leave out the Old Testament can be a fatal mistake, because if we don't understand what God is saying and telling us, for example, with his feasts, then we're likely not to understand what his plan is for the future. And today is Yom Teruah. And I say that not because I saw the new crescent moon, because it's completely overcast here in Georgia. But in Jerusalem, in Israel, they did see the first little crescent, the waxing crescent of the moon, which is the first sign of Yom Teruah and the seventh month of the year. And that's the Day of Trumpets. Yom Teruah means Day of Trumpets. And there's something fascinating from a prophetic standpoint about the Day of Trumpets. The Hebrews, the Jews, call the Day of Trumpets the day which no one knows, the day and the hour. And it's the same kind of wording that Christ used when he said he was talking about his return. He said, no one will know the day and the hour. That may not have seemed all that strange to his listeners, because they were familiar with the Day of Trumpets, the fact that it is the signal to gather all God's people on the seventh month for the festival of ingathering. In other words, it's the time that he would come back and gather his people, which is exactly what it is, the Day of Trumpets. The last trumpet, which is when the resurrection and rapture occurs, which occurs at the second coming, is when Yahweh returns or Yeshua returns and gathers his people, resurrects them, gathers them, and brings them into his kingdom. But this is why it's, I think it's so important that, you know, Christians read and study their Bible, because they're not getting this stuff in organized religion today. They're getting, I'm not going to talk about that, but they're not getting the whole truth, nothing but the truth. You know, and they should understand the Fall Harvest Festival, because that's when God harvests his people, gathers them, and brings them into his kingdom. And it starts with today, the Day of Trumpets.
Right, amen. Which, to me, also, trumpets also, you know, tribulation. We have, tell them about, aren't there trumpets blown during the tribulation? More than just the last one?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because not many people realize that, but it's my interpretation. In the book of Revelation, there are seven trumpets. And those seven trumpets sound up until the return of Christ. It looks to me like those seven trumpets correspond to the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years. And I know, so, you know, when you look at Revelation and you read about the seventh trumpet, I think what you're seeing is very dramatic and cataclysmic events occurring during the time that Christ said would be the Great Tribulation, a time that never has happened before and never will happen again. It's the worst time ever for the world and God's people. And then I believe that since we're on that topic, I believe that the bowls are with God's wrath, and that's poured out after Christ or after the Messiah returns.
Right. Right, what you're saying is he'll then gather them, and then the bowls will go off after the trumpets, right?
Yeah, because, Christ pours out his wrath after he's here, after he's back.
Well, so then you're under the same, and this actually points back to this feast time that we're coming into, because we have a thing called this starts the awesome days, which to me represents, and it is tradition, it represents repentance until we get up to the Day of Atonement, and then atonement, and then in gathering. But there's that lag there. So do you believe that we'll be gone during the bowls, or no?
No. Well, actually, I believe that Christ returns at the second coming. He appears in the clouds of the sky.
Right.
And he gathers up with the last trumpet call, just as we see in Matthew 24.
Right.
With the trumpet call, he sends his angels, who are the harvesters, and they gather up all the elect. And the elect are gathered from heaven and earth, it describes in Matthew, in the Gospels. And that's after the tribulation. He says, just like he said in Matthew 24, immediately after the tribulation of those days,
right,
the sun and moon and the stars will go dark, which is a sign immediately before the day of the Lord, which is when Christ returns. So, right, it all fits together perfectly, but as you can see already in our show, we're only a few minutes in, and we've already opened up a whole bunch of topics.
Well, you said, well, where are we going to go with it? And I said, it doesn't matter. Start and we'll see.
Yeah, well, what it points to most is there's no way we could teach all this stuff tonight.
Right.
But it should point out to God's people that they need to spend time in their Bible and start, and understand the law and the prophets. You know, Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law and the prophets. He mentioned both of them, he said, I came to fulfill them. And he fulfilled some of the prophecies about himself, about the Messiah. But he didn't fulfill them all. The rest will be fulfilled in terms of his activities, with regard to the feast. Let me just kind of lay this out for you. For instance, the Day of Trumpets, which is today in this particular year of 2014, if this was the year of his return, today would be the day that he would appear out of the darkness and gather and have the angels he would send with the trumpet call and gather up all his elect. That would be on the first day and hour of the seventh month of the year, of God's year. And then, as you mentioned, there would be what is traditionally called 10 days of awe. Now, that's a traditional term. That's not a biblical term. But on the 10th day is said to be a day which God's people are to deny themselves. Now, what I see in Scripture is this is the day that what we call in Christianity is the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, this is the day that Yahweh, Yahshua, will judge his people.
Yeah, amen.
Gathers them on the Day of Trumpets, on the Day of Atonement, when they're to deny themselves, he will judge them. They will not be condemned, because there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ, and he will reward them for the works that they do, for what they have done in him. Now, that happens on the 10th day of this month. So, the Day of Atonement will happen 10 days from today.
Yeah, that's Yom Kippur, folks, and that is actually October 4th, and it falls on Saturday.
Right, which is...
Well, I'm just trying to... Yeah, which means it's a... Yeah, that's a double Sabbath, amen. So, I'm just trying to... So they figure out where they're at, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
You wouldn't believe how many people, Richard, that have listened, and specifically have listened to us have our conversation, because you're usually who I try to get to come in and talk about the feast, because you can still talk about it in a way that isn't too, 180,000 feet over their head. You know what I mean?
That's the way I write all my books.
Now we're writing a book. We were talking, now we're writing a book. But we'll get into that in just a second. Let me finish this sentence. But what I was saying was that you wouldn't believe that I have been contacted by folks afterwards, and they wanted, because of listening, they wanted to know about, well, how do I find out about the feast, and how do I do the feast, and what day are they on, and saying that, now you can say it. I bet you have a book that talks about the feast, don't you, Richard?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, it doesn't. The feasts are not in the title, but you mentioned a book at the beginning of the show. My latest book is called "His Ways Are Eternal," which is a quote from the book of Habakkuk, and it basically states in no uncertain terms, very succinctly, that God's ways are eternal. And that means they don't change, there's no interruption, and there's no end to them. So, everything that he gave his people to do back when, that's what we should be doing now. In other words, we shouldn't have stopped doing some of his things, and we shouldn't have replaced some of his things with our things, And God says it all the way through Scripture. He says, do what I tell you to do. Do everything I tell you to do, and don't add to it or take away from it. Yet we've made a science out of taking things away from God's word and ways and inventing our own ways, as you well know.
Absolutely. The thing that you always get, and I'm not going to get anything real serious because we only got a couple minutes before break, but you ever hear people say, you'd be trying to get them in a conversation about, I'll talk to them about Christmas in a nice way, and they say, well, I tell them what the meaning of it is, and they say, well, that's not what I think about it. And I go, really? What you think about it? Is that what matters, what they think about it or how they do it? What matters?
Exactly. Well, that's God has a very popular proverb for that. He says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me, and I will make your paths straight. In other words, basically God is saying, look, it doesn't matter what you think. Do what I tell you. I'm doing this for your benefit. Everything that God is doing and telling us to do, why it might seem strange to us, is for our benefit.
Right.
In other words, if we were keeping the Sabbath and we were keeping the feasts as Christians, we'd be able to recognize, you know, clearly from Scripture that there is no pre-tribulation rapture. There is a clear gathering up, catching up, if you will, of God's people at the second coming, just as the Lord returns on Yom Teruah, the last trumpet, and brings his people into his kingdom.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
The best part is yet to come.
We'll talk about we'll talk about the yet to come when we are yet to come back. We're going to go here in less than a minute. Tell them a couple ways how they can find you and your books. You got about 40 seconds.
Well, if they've got the internet and you know what Google is, all you have to do is type in Richard H. Perry, and you'll find out everything you want to know about me, my books, YouTube videos, website, everything.
Yeah,
Richard
absolutely.
H. Perry. H is in Henry.
Yeah, kind of like your name's spelled like Governor Perry's.
That's right. It's Richard.
Anyway. Yeah, I know. Anyway, folks, and it's also, he's got a website, lastdaysmystery.info. But anyway, we will be back in about 3 minutes, and we'll talk some more about the feast, and you'll be blessed. That's in 3 minutes. Okay, I didn't catch it. We're waiting on the station break guy. Sometimes you press those computer buttons, Richard, and they just don't go off like you want them.
I understand.
Yeah, so you got to just wait until it happens. Although he said that they're having a lot of lightning. There you go.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149. $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Closed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, you know, people ask me, well, how come so many people come to you for help when, you know, you don't have a whole lot sometimes to give them? So why do they come to you? Well, have you ever went in, you go into a homeless place or something, and you go in and you got to be dead quiet, you know, it's real quiet inside and the people are all just on edge. It's because they're treated, it's an agency, and they treat them like clients, you know. It's kind of like you go in someplace and, you know, so you can't be yourself. But when they walk in the door to the mission church, first off, the thing that they're going to get is they're not going to have to sign any papers to get in to the mission church. So, you know, that's why, you know, right at the first police said, well, who was such and such here on such a day? I said, I have no idea. I don't keep books on who's here and who's not. And for that matter, the police do really stay out of the place, and they just leave us to our own. They figure, like they told me, they said, if you have a problem, we figure you can handle it yourself. So there usually isn't any problems. Why? Because, you know, they're treated as family. And beyond that, you know, we don't have any set guidelines like programs. You know, the only programs I have is radio programs, and you're listening to one. But programs, no, we don't have any programs. You walk in, you talk to me about what you need, and if I have a way to help you, then I help you. If not, we try and pray it in, and that's kind of how it works. And this is why even the agencies, you know, not the people that run, well, not the people at the tip top of the agencies, but the people that work in the agencies tell their employers, tell all the people about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. You know how many people don't get help because they didn't mark a line correctly? Really. Anyway, people who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. And folks, yes, we are responsible to care for so many. Each other. We are brothers keepers, so all donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com or call me at 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And pray about a donation tonight because, you know, the poor that we are ministering to, they can't do anything for us. And so it's just people like you that has been kept us going for the last 15 years. Anyway, we're now back with Richard Perry, if he hasn't decided to bail out. Are you there, Richard?
You know me, I don't bail.
Yeah, anyone know you don't bail. That's a fact. I appreciate you, I really do. Anyway, you said the best was yet to come. I took that as meaning towards the rest of this speech, so to speak.
Yeah, well, like we've been talking, the fall harvest feast starts today on the Day of Trumpets. 10 days later is the Day of Atonement, which is, we think, is the judgment seat of Christ. And then starting on the 15th day and lasting for 7 days is the Feast of Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles. And that is what, in Christianity, that's what we know as the wedding banquet or the wedding feast. And if anybody wants to read about it, it's written in Isaiah chapter 25, and it's in Zion. And it's a great feast where Yahweh prepares a feast for all peoples of rich meats and fine wines. And the feast lasts for 7 days, and it's the largest feast in all God's festivals. It's the harvest feast. It's huge by comparison. It's bigger than all the other feasts together and combined. I love this. It's, you know, God describes it as having the finest of wines and the best meats and all that kind of stuff, but I always want to say, but don't worry. Teetotalers and vegetarians are welcome. That's just my own little personal joke.
Yeah.
You know?
Amen.
It's not an exclusionary menu.
Yeah, amen. And we call that, folks, we call it the season of our joy, you know, because all the work is done and, you know, all the crops have been gathered in. But in the final one, it's going to be all the souls that are gathered in, and we're all there and we get to sit with Yeshua. I mean, wow, season of our joy. That puts it mildly.
Hard to imagine. Hard to imagine. Yes.
Yeah,
but, you know, and we Christians should be able to see this more clearly than anybody else. But, you know, because Christ has already come, he's fulfilled the first feast, the day of Passover, which is the sacrifice of the lamb. Then there's a 7-day feast called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Christ was the unleavened bread, the bread that came down from heaven without sin. So he fulfilled the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Then next came the beginning of the what they call the first fruits, which follows the feast week of Unleavened Bread, the first Sabbath after Unleavened Bread. And then for 50 days later, which is where we get the idea of Pentecost, because Penta means 50, we get the Feast of Weeks, which is when the Holy Spirit was poured out on all God's followers in Jerusalem. So when Christ came at his first advent or first coming, he literally did just what he said. He came to fulfill the law, which is the Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and the Feast of Weeks. He has not yet fulfilled the fall harvest feast, the Day of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles, which he will do when he comes on his second coming. His second coming is the very first day will be at the day of the last trumpet, on the Day of Trumpets, and then it will last for the next 23 days. And that's all that is with Christ is back and he's in his kingdom. There's one thing I've noticed over the more recent years is that a lot of Christians are starting to become more and more aware of the feasts of God and some of the Old Testament things that God has given us to do. And some of them have mistakenly tried to use these feast days and these feasts as indicators of when Christ will come. That is not what he's showing us. He's showing us what he's going to do when he comes. In other words, he will come on the Day of Trumpets in the year that he comes. But those things, the Day of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and Day of Tabernacles, cannot be used to determine his arrival and, you know, the second coming. God has been very clear. He gives us signs, prophecies, events, world events that will happen. And he expects his people to know what those signs are, just like Christ said. He said, when you see all these things, you'll know that the kingdom is near. In other words, we're never supposed to be able to calculate the day of his return. We're never supposed to be able to figure out when he's coming back by the feast.
Right.
No, we're always, Old Testament and New Testament, God has always told his people, this is going to happen, and this is what it means. And that's so. Right. That's why God's people need to understand prophecy, and they need to understand the law.
Well, one thing I want to make a clarification, and I know that you know this, so I'll ask you. For the people, you know, a lot of people are mixed up about this holiday or this feast because of the fact that, you know, it's called Rosh Hashanah. They say, Happy New Year. What's going on with that?
Oh, yes, that's a big mistake. Well, Rosh Hashanah, I'm glad you brought that up because I had it on my list of things I wanted to talk about. Rosh Hashanah in Hebrew means the head of the year or the new year. Today is Israel's new year, and it's just another example how Israel has departed from Yahweh's ways. In other words, Christianity has departed from Yahweh's ways, but Judaism has departed from Yahweh's ways. And Rosh Hashanah is a good example because the Bible could not be more clear about when the beginning of the year is. Let me read. It's right in Exodus chapter 12. Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of your year. Now that month is the month of Abib, which is the month of Passover. In other words, Israel is a nation, and the Jews celebrate the seventh month as the Rosh Hashanah, the head or new year. And God has got a different date, and yet they've departed from his ways, and they've created their own, just like Christianity has. You know, it's like we've come up with our own ways, and we've all departed from Yahweh's ways. And one of the things, you know, again, I talk about prophecy a lot, about what's coming and what's going to happen next and where we're headed with all this stuff. And God lays that all out. He tells us everything. But, you know, we've got to know, you know, where we are in his plan. And we need to be relying on his word and not the teachings and traditions of men, which Yahweh warns us about all the way through Scripture. It's his ways we need to be focused on. We need to repent. In other words, part of seeing what's coming and being awakened to the crisis and catastrophes and the wars and the famines and the plagues that are coming, by the way, they've already started, but that are going to get worse and worse, is that we, God's people, have to realize that, wait a minute, we've got to stop doing our stuff and start doing Yahweh's stuff. In other words, that's one of the reasons that I think Yahweh had me write this latest book. His ways are eternal. In other words, it provides some very easy-to-read guidance about Yahweh's ways and what we should be doing today. You know, can't do everything in the Old Testament because there's no temple, there's no tabernacle, there are no priests. We can't be following the regulations that way, but there's plenty of laws that God gives which are very, you know, to a lot of people today are just common sense laws. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't withhold wages, don't misbehave. You know, I mean, his laws are not strange. But
well,
you know, people make them.
Let me say this. Even without the temple and everything in them, and even if it's something that they say, well, the priests specifically have to do it, if you look towards, you know, if you read it and spiritually look at it, you can still get a great teaching about it. You know, whether it's the simplicity of that, sacrifices led to Yeshua, but also sacrifices made people realize that sin cost them something, you know. It costs to take their best goat or best cow or whatever and go get it slaughtered. That cost them something, didn't it, Richard?
Yep. Well, and everything costs us. I mean, you know, whether it's in this life or the life to come, you know, there are consequences. There's no doubt about it. And we need to be walking in Yahweh's ways. You know, not our own ways, not Jewish ways, not Christian ways, not Messianic ways, not some other ways. We need to be doing what he says, because he defines his ways and his commandments as a definition for love. He says love to God, Yahweh, is to obey all his commands. So if we love him, what we need to do is obvious.
I'm starting to like, you know, I haven't read this book, His Ways Are Eternal. I'm going to want to read it, I think. I know I want to read it. I read so much other stuff that's sent to me because I think I've been looking for something like this to share with people, you know, because people are always, like I said, are always asking me, well, what do I do? What's the next step? And so this book will help along with that, Richard.
Oh, absolutely. It lays it out, and, you know, again, you know how I speak fast and about a lot
right.
of things, but I write really simple, you know, and, well, yeah, let me just read a paragraph here about the feast. He says,
okay, great, go ahead.
The Messiah will fulfill the final three feasts at the time of his second coming. First, on the Day of Trumpets, he will gather his people to himself. Then, 10 days later, on the Day of Atonement, he will judge and reward his people for what they have done. Finally, beginning on the 15th day, he and his people will celebrate a large wedding banquet on Mount Zion for 7 days. That's just an example of how I write. I mean, it's just straightforward, but it's right out of Scripture. I mean, it's
yeah, absolutely.
Really, really plain.
One other thing I got written up here on my list of what I was going to ask you, which I didn't really write much of anything because I didn't figure I needed it with you. But this year, Israel says that they're going to recognize a Sabbath year. You know, they're not going to plant this year. And they're talking about giving concessions to farmers and stuff. Other people are calling it the Shemitah. And are predicting a catastrophic collapse. Is there any connection, any thought on that, or
no? No. I mean, you know, here's my point of view on a lot of this stuff that comes up that people, you know, come up with. If it's not in Scripture, then don't concern yourself with it. Now, stuff might happen. In other words, John Hagee is talking about blood red moons and things that are going to happen in 2014, 2015. Well, we can see there's lots of stuff happening. There's probably more stuff going to happen. But look, it's not anything that God has told us to watch the moon about for this year or next year. God has given us, his people, signs. In other words, I think one of the signs of the time of the end was the first seal of Revelation, which was basically the United States war on terror. I think the next sign, the very next sign, will be the second seal of Revelation, the rider on the red horse. I believe, you know, I believe is Iran. And it says Iran will take peace from the earth, and they will, the leader of Iran will be given a large sword, which I believe is saying that Iran is going to be given a great battle, and they're going to take peace from the earth. That's the next thing to happen. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say anything about ISIS. I can't see it anywhere, what's going to come of it, but I don't think anything good is going to come of it.
No. No.
But I think it's...
Go ahead.
I do know that the Iran war is going to be next, and it's going to happen in Obama's term. In other words, we've got a little more than 2 years, and I will guarantee you that there will be an Iran war, and it will be catastrophic. Not just the war itself, but the financial consequences that will follow.
Right. Let me say this. I can see that it's happening, and ISIS or ISIL, whatever, you know, they want to call themselves. Number one, I don't see them as the caliphate, you know what I mean? But the idea and the concept of where they're leading us to, now we're mixed up over there, starting to bomb in Syria. Well, you know, we warned Iran and told Iran that we were going to do this, as we told Syria we were going to start the bombings. But, you know, it wouldn't take much to upset them, especially when we have a president that they don't figure is going to do them any harm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they don't really see much coming from him. Yeah, and I think that your point is really well taken because, you know, keep in mind that Iran and Syria have a mutual defense pact. If you attack Syria, you've attacked Iran. Now, if at any time, and Iran has basically been saying this kind of thing, they said if there's any miscalculations in this attack on ISIS in Syria, they said, you know, this will burn the Middle East, is the way they put it. So, yeah, Iran's watching this like a hawk, and I know that my boss tells me that he stirred up the Iranians, and he plans that they're going to start a war, the next war, that's going to take peace from the earth. And it's not that difficult to see now, but it's easy to see how the prophecies and current events are coming together. So, you know, everybody, you know, you don't have to read my books. You can go to my YouTube and see it for free. I got a lot of stuff on this. But Iran will start the next war, and it will happen while Obama's still president. And following that, there'll be an economic crisis that if you're not prepared for, you're going to lose a lot of money.
Well, do you think that next seal, let me ask you this, and I want to make sure because we only got about 4 minutes left. But I think that with that second seal, the Iranian thing, I think won't that speed things forward faster pace?
Yes, exactly right. As a matter of fact, you know, Christ put it this way. He said, these are like birth pains. Now, most of us know that birth pains, they start small, they get bigger. They start at, you know, there's big spaces between the first one, and they come quicker and bigger as they go. In other words, it speeds up. So you're exactly right.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so many other things. It's just that, you know, the Middle East can't be rearranged again. It's lining itself up for this end time things. And if you look at the ideology of Iran, they're waiting for their savior too, are they not? And what's it going to take to get him back? A war.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think the Middle East, the Muslims, this whole ISIS thing is a prophetic thing for them. And Iran's whole theology about the 12th Imam is that they know we're in the time of the end. It's their time of the end. They use the Bible to and they interpret it their own way, but they do use the Bible, our Bible, for some of their prophecy. Yeah, no, they put out videos. The regime in Iran has put out videos talking about the time of the end. They think they already know who the 12th Imam is, who would be to us the Antichrist. And by the way, those that are interested, I happen to think it's Muqtada al-Sadr, but we won't go into that tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
But now things are coming fast, and people need to be aware of what Scripture's saying and the prophecies that are laid out for the time of the end, and be prepared because, you know, the biggest risk right now for people in the United States who have got some savings or got some money in the stock market is, you know, the stock market looks, oh, wonderful, super, it's super high, you know, but and the dollar is super strong. Well, this is just before the bubble pops. In other words, when this war starts and our creditors tell us to go to heck, things are going to get really bad, and people with trying to rely on some dollars and on the stock market are going to lose a lot of money.
And, yeah, absolutely.
It would be good if they knew what the prophet Habakkuk had to say, Habakkuk. And by the way, if people can also go to my Facebook, just friend me on Facebook. Again, it's Richard H. Perry, and you'll see I put stuff on Facebook and I put stuff on Twitter what I see coming, and I, you know, I look at news clips and I do some teachings. And like I got up there today, I got the thing about the Feast of the Trumpets, and I got things whenever Iran's doing something suspicious or Syria or anything, I put that up. So go to Richard H. Perry, friend me on Facebook, and that way you can keep up with what's going on. I also watch the financial situations. Anything that seem to line up with what God is saying is next about prophecy, I will keep you posted.
Absolutely. Well, Richard, we're at the end of the program, so I'm sure you'll be back on again sometime. And I'm going to get that book because I'm looking for something simple. And if it's, if you know, like that, if it's good, then I'm going to start double recommending it. Anyway, I'll let you go. Till next time. Be blessed, brother.
Be blessed. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, folks, we're coming in to, we are coming into the feast. You know, the big thing about the feast, and I'll say this, that once you start doing the feast and seeing how joyful they are, and that they really mean something, you know, they really biblical mean something, and you see a lot of other people doing it. I don't know if we'll get away for the Feast of Tabernacles this year. We'd love to. We try to. You are supposed to technically live in a booth outside or in a tent or, you know, go and travel and build a sukkah. You can find those things actually in the Bible in Leviticus 23. But you can also just Google Feast of Tabernacles and see all the ones around. You don't always have to go for 8 days. You can go to some of those and drop in and visit. You might pay a little bit of a cover charge because on some of them, some of those places, they have really good speakers during that period of time. So you go in and you listen to speakers. But check it out, because it's really a wonderful thing that Yahweh's people does, and it's a blessing. And you can still go to your Christian church, just, you know, and we're all Christians. All those are believers in Yeshua that are being Yeshua-like or Christ-like, that's what you call a Christian. But to remember that, though, to be a Christian, you're supposed to walk even as he walked. He kept the feast. And to talk even as he talked. Walk the walk, talk the talk, like he did. And so, you know, love him. Walk in the same kind of love that he did. Anyway, I'm going to let you go. We're going to get out of here. But remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Please always be a blessing to others. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We do really need your help. The feasts are coming up, it'd be nice to at least be caught ahead of time for the feast, you know, and be caught up with the mission bills and have a food stock and all that. And besides, it does say in the Torah that you're supposed to donate to the poor this time of the year. Anyway, so, Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you and is gracious to you and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.